The epistle to be read today for the fifth Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Peter's first epistle, chapter 3. Dearly beloved, be all of one mind, having compassion one for another, being lovers of the brotherhood, merciful, modest, humble, not rendering evil for evil, nor railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing. For unto this you are called, that you may inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that they speak no guile. Let him decline from evil and do good. Let him seek after peace and pursue it. Because the eyes of the Lord are upon the just, and his ears unto their prayers. But the countenance of the Lord upon them that do evil things. And who is he that can hurt you if you be zealous of good? But if also you suffer anything for justice's sake, blessed are ye. And be not afraid of their fear, and be not troubled, but sanctify the Lord Christ in your hearts. In the Holy Gospel. Take from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 5. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "Unless your justice abound more than the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to them of old, that thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you, whosoever is angry with his brother shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. And whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. If therefore thou offer thy gift at the altar, and there thou remember that thy brother hath anything against thee, leave there thy offering before the altar, and go first to be reconciled to thy brother, and then coming thou shalt offer thy gift." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Be all of one mind, having compassion one for another, being lovers of the brotherhood, merciful, modest, and humble, not rendering evil for evil, nor railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing. These words are taken from the epistle of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Oben-Maugau is a small town in Germany. Its population is smaller than Cairo, New York. It has about 5,500 people. And yet, it is known and visited by people throughout the world. People from everywhere are attracted to this little town because of the passion play that the inhabitants perform every 10 years. You see, in the year 1630, a horrible plague was ravaging many small towns in Germany. And so the people of Oben-Maugau prayed and begged God to spare their little town. In fact, no one in the town died of the plague when many other small villages were being decimated by the horrible disease. The people therefore promised to put on a passion play every 10 years in thanksgiving to God for sparing the town of the horrible disease. They have been faithful to this promise, and every 10 years a performance that is world famous is put on. Some of my relatives just went to Oben-Maugau last month. They were able to see the little town and talk to some of the people. The play will not be put on till next year, but they said that the tickets for the next year's play are already sold out. There are about 200 main cast parts and about over 1,000 minor roles. And then basically the rest of the town helps out getting prepared for the performance. The cast members have in fact already been getting ready for about a year now. You see, they begin a few years before the actual play to get into character of the part they are playing, even growing out their beards and hair to fit the person they are playing. The people get into the playing their character to make our Lord's passion and death as real as possible. There's a story to show how authentic the play really is. Two tourists had just witnessed the passion play at Oben-Maugau. After the performance, they approached Mr. Anton Lang, the man who plays the part of Christ. They asked if they could take a picture of one of them holding the cross that Mr. Lang uses in the play. Mr. Lang nodded and smiled his consent. The American eagerly reached down to pick up the cross. To his surprise, he did not move the cross. It was too heavy. He tried again, but he could not budge it from the ground. After several embarrassing failures, he straightened up and said to Mr. Lang, "Your cross is certainly very heavy." The reply of Mr. Lang, who faithfully played the part of Christ for many years, was direct and to the point. "Sir," he said, "I cannot represent Christ with a light cross." Now you can imagine how real and moving the play must be, since everything is so authentic and lifelike. You can imagine how emotional must be the scourging and the crowning with thorns, and how awe-inspiring is the crucifixion. But you know, they say that the scene which stirs the greatest emotion is the washing of the feet. That is, when our loving Savior washed the feet of his apostles at the Last Supper, the night before he died. Picturing the God-man washing the feet of his creatures, the feet of his apostles, who he knew would abandon him that very night, and of St. Peter, whom our Lord knew was going to deny him as well that night, and even God washing the feet of the traitor Judas. For you see, nothing is more touching than the true service of one's neighbor, and especially God showing such love for his creatures. Now, in today's epistle, St. Peter tells us how necessary it is to practice charity to all men, having compassion one for another, and even showing kindness to those who offend us. He says, not rendering evil for evil, but contrariwise blessing. That is, when someone offends us and even does something evil to us, we should show them kindness and even do something good to them. St. Peter says this is the key for having our prayers answered by God. He says, because the eyes of the Lord are upon the just, and his ears unto their prayers. And so if we don't show this charity, God will not hear our prayers. My dear faithful, both the gospel and epistle for today teach us much about the virtue of charity. St. Peter tells us in the epistle to practice charity to all men, even to those who are unkind to us. We must, in fact, do good to those who do evil to us. And the gospel warns us of the punishment that we will receive if we do not control our anger. Now, both the gospel and the epistle remind us that charity must be active. That is, we must perform acts of charity towards our neighbor. For true love of our neighbor is not merely avoiding being uncharitable, but also in doing acts of kindness to our neighbor. Now, my dear faithful, we often hear this, and we know that we should be charitable to everyone. But we have a hard time practicing this Christ-like charity of being patient and kind. And why is this? Why do we have such a hard time? It is because most likely we are not sufficiently prepared. We need a game plan. We have to have a method to overcome impatience and anger in order to be charitable to those who are uncharitable to us. It is like anything in life. Whenever you set out and start a project, you have a plan, a schedule, and a method to proceed. If you plan on redoing your kitchen, what do? You make plans. You know what you have to do. Otherwise, if you have no plans or a method in redoing your kitchen, you will get nowhere. And so it is with the spiritual life. If you want to make any progress in overcoming some particular sin, you have to be ready. You need a plan, a method. And so just by telling yourself to be patient or not to get angry is not enough. When something goes wrong and impatience or anger flares up, it won't work just to tell yourself not to get angry. Rather, to practice patience and overcome anger, one of the best methods is to have some particular quote or thought to recall to mind. And this will help you to stop and think and help you to control the anger and impatience. The quote or thought will renew your strength and courage. It will give you a reason to practice the patience or to control the anger. There's, in fact, a certain famous artist who had this practice, even when he was young and just starting out college. He always kept the book of the Imitation of Christ close at hand. In this way, he would quickly pick up the book and read a passage from it. And in the cover of the book, he had his favorite quote written down. This way, he would often recall to mind and help him to be charitable, even to those who were rude or inconsiderate of him. And so the quote he often recalled to mind was, "When men turn against me, I can always love them in return." And thus, he was able to show goodness even to those who mistreated him. Now, you must do the same thing. Often, we think to ourselves, "Well, I try to be patient. I try not to get angry and keep it under control." Or sometimes we say, "Well, it is so hard to remember to say a little prayer at that time because I am so upset." But if you were better prepared, if you had a favorite quote or a prayer to turn to, it would be much easier for you. If you were to ask yourself right now, "What is your favorite quote to turn to, or prayer? Or even, what is the best scene you like to think about in the life of our Lord when you are tempted?" What do you immediately think of and turn to? If you asked yourself that right now, would you have one ready? If not, then try and think of a quote that particularly appeals to you, or some scene in the life of our Lord that will help you to be patient and charitable even in these difficult times. Think of our Lord being unjustly condemned to death and how he remained silent. Or imagine our Lord and God washing the feet of his apostles and even of the traitor Judas. And surely these thoughts of God suffering such things will help you be patient even under the greatest trials that come your way. And so, my dear faithful, we must have a game plan. We must be prepared if we hope to have any success in our spiritual combat. Use the many examples that God himself has given to us while he lived here on earth. And construct for yourself in advance an arsenal where you can turn to find the strength to fight the temptations. Pick your favorite prayer or quote to help you in those difficult times. Repeat it often to yourself so that it becomes almost second nature for you to say. And then when the temptation comes, you will automatically say that little prayer. And thus, you will be on the sure road to overcoming that sin. To avoid the anger and impatience that our frail human nature has such a difficult time controlling. And thus you will be able to practice that charity to others and imitate our Lord who went out of his way to help fallen mankind. And thus by imitating our Lord and practicing such charity, you will make your life a constant passion play, one more real and worth much more than the open-mouthed passion play. And as St. Paul says, you will fill up those things that are wanting in the sufferings of Christ. We have so many opportunities in our daily life to show this charity and kindness to our neighbor. So do not lose a chance to putting St. Peter's words into action. Striving, as the apostle says, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, being merciful, modest, and humble, not rendering evil for evil, but contrariwise blessing. Let him refrain his tongue from evil, being ready always to satisfy everyone that asks you anything. And so let us pray to St. Peter today. O great apostle St. Peter, obtain for me the loving consideration of others, a discernment to anticipate their needs, and a readiness and willingness to always satisfy and help others, and that grace to love men even when they turn against me. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.